There's a shortage of perfect breasts in this world. It would be a pity to damage yours.
It is June 1988. Nippon Airways announces that painting eyeballs on jets cuts bird collisions by 20%. Federal jury finds tobacco company Liggett liable in death of New Jersey woman of lung cancer. Stella Nicola is sentenced to 90 years for murdering husband with tampered Excedrin. And the world's then largest sausage is completed at 13 and 1/8 miles long.
You don't care about any of that because your mom came in and started chugging things that'd be done to his father. You gotta go home and you just gotta deal with it. And your mother's gonna be mad and you're mad. You haven't told her about all this whole thing. It's stupid. Anyways, I guess it's time to
listen to Sassy.
And now here are your hosts, Tori Ariano and Pamela Rubin.
Dave, our subscriber is obviously banking at Moody Bank, it sounds like.
Yeah. Austin's own Moody Bank. Every time we pass it, this is what happens.
Get a check, go to the teller, get a pass and get a fill of your own checks. And I don't know how to do this, but a computer, maybe if you had to have decent online now, I could just go there and do that. But again, I have to come here, and all these people that don't have corporate training since 1978. I'd say that.
The thing is, I forget every time, and we're in the car, and he'll start muttering, I'm like, what the fuck? And then there it is, Moody Bank, this, like, tower in downtown. I'm so dumb. Anyway, hi, Pam. Oh, no, Pam's dead.
So good. So good. There's so much Moody. My favorite part of that kind of teen Moody is because you're stuck in your room.
Yeah.
It's because you're stuck in your room and you have no voice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Tell me.
Before we get into our own lives in June 1988, we have a correction and an update. Dave, why don't you do the correction first?
Yeah, just we were talking about the layout a couple episodes ago, and I was crediting Neil, who is also always in the magazine in front of your eyeballs, because I just figured he was the art director. But I happened upon the masthead, and he's the assistant art director. Cheryl Collins is the art director, so I want to give her some credit, because she would the buck stops with her.
Yeah, he's assistant to the art director.
Yeah.
Is he assistant or associate?
I don't know. One of those early ones. Doesn't matter. Same thing.
We also have an update from our slumber party episode when we were talking about Power Tool. And I only knew this when I went to look up a picture of Power Tool for our social media, which you should follow on Twitter and Instagram at Listen to Sassy. Power Tool was Nelson! They were on the Bill and Ted's album on the soundtrack before they had even put out their first album. And so they decided to release this terrible three-way song as Power Tool in order not to, like, undercut their own release, I guess. But we'll have an article about this in the show notes about how this happened and why. But I was horrified.
Well, it makes the brother storyline in the song seem now more autobiographical.
I guess, but it even makes it more upsetting because they really are both brothers.
I didn't say autobiographical gross enough.
Autobiographical.
All right. So thank you again to our caller for bringing that to our attention. But yuck. Also, yuck.
Mm-hmm.
All right. June 1988 in our lives. I'm finishing grade 8. But I'm going to miss my grade 8 graduation ceremony, which, like, why is this even a thing? Who cares? Because, guys, I'm going on tour.
What?
With the marching band. With the marching band, guys. Let me just explain a little bit about the Regina Lions marching band system.
Never prepared. It's my Moody.
So the Lions are like a fraternal organization. And so they sponsored this band. And there were four bands, A, B, C, and D. Obviously, you know, when you start out, you start out in D usually, and you move up. So in this year, I was in B band, but they were short on flutes. And so they asked me to, like, I don't know why, they temporarily promoted me to A band.
We need more flutes in Regina.
I don't know how it works.
You know, your pilot's missing, like, low stakes. Like, what's a low stake thing for a Disney Channel child to aspire to? They're low on flutes. Yes. Short flute shortage. And that's why she's on tour. We love it.
There will be every fourth summer something even more exciting happens, but we'll get to that. But most summers.
Oh, I can't wait to see what the exciting thing is for the Regina flutist.
It is exciting. And it's something that I didn't get to do because we moved. And that was a big deal.
It's 2-for-1 day at Milky Way Ice Cream Shop. Woo! It only happens once every 4 years.
You don't
it's
know.
It's called the Flautist Leap Day Festival, Dave.
It's called the Leap for Joy Day. Because we all get ice cream half price when we pool our resources.
Flute for child pediatric cancer on leap days.
Anyway, they would go on tour of various marching band competitions in the Midwest of the U.S., which was even more exciting because it was exotic and American. And so we would get on buses and drive around and sleep in school gyms in our sleeping bags or on the buses because we would drive through the night and go and be in these marching competitions and usually win because we were a really good band. So that's where I'm doing in June 1988.
Tara, that's actually very cool. I have follow-ups. How did you make sure you didn't wear the same outfit while you were on tour?
In band, I wasn't that concerned about it because my band friends were like my nice friends. It was only at school that I was super anxious about it. And everyone was wearing the same outfits all the time because there was a limited amount of clothes that you could bring for like 3 weeks or wherever, however long it was.
Follow-up question number two. Mm-hmm. I'm not done. Is there a t-shirt at the end of this and do you have everyone sign it with a Sharpie?
I don't think we got a t-shirt, but when I was finished with band the next year, because we were moving, we had these like sort of white space boots. Those were our uniform shoes. And I can show you because they are like behind me in my office. And I got everyone to sign my boots like a yearbook. And I still have them.
Oh, see?
So our spine line for June 1988 is off the deep end. Of course it is. It's summer. We bought swimsuits after we read the last issue. Now we're going to the pool. Summertime, off the deep end, straight into the water.
Our first feature is called Getting Turned On. It's by Karen. And wow, I remember it. Mm-hmm. But it starts with like, it feels like, a little weird. Uh-huh. Wow. What's next? Huh? And it's answering your basic questions on how and why am I getting turned on? And am I weird if I don't feel it? Do boys get turned on differently? What's making this happen to me? Stuff like that. Mm-hmm. It gets pretty specific.
Yeah.
Very informative article that was very helpful to tell you that things are going to be happening to your body.
Mm-hmm. And everything is okay, including if nothing is happening to your body. That is also okay.
I think this issue is specifically when the magazine really hit its comedy stride. Mm-hmm. Like its tone is very strong here in Karen's, where it's like that older sister, aunt, your mom's cool friend.
Yes.
Who knows who Brian Bloom is.
And yeah, why and your vagina's really not doing into something him.
Weird. Not into him. Not into him at all. But it like, you know, it's dropping Patrick Swayze and Johnny Depp and it doesn't have a problem with using the word mucus in discussing you.
Yeah.
And it reminded me that like the biggest thing was worrying about whether or not you were a nympho or a prude. And that was like, those are the two things you could be.
Correct.
Neither of which you were supposed to want to be.
One of the things that mentions as something that might possibly turn you on is the sex scene from Masquerade, a movie I have not seen, although it's on HBO Max, I discovered, and we'll link that in the show notes too. But also, just the sex scene from Masquerade is also online by itself. And I watched it. I was like, okay, yeah, I get it.
So you have this link in here, and I was just like, oh, what's this? And I click it, and it's just dicks all over my screen. Just dicks all over. Tara, if you're going to link to some sort of porny site.
There weren't dicks all over my screen.
When you click it again. Click it right now, because I was not alone when I clicked this in the... Oh, this guy like totally doing a thing right now. The ads. Do you not see ads when you click this? Ah, there's so many men jacking off. Okay, the ads. Oh,
okay, yeah, all right. Fair enough, sorry. There's dicks in the ads.
I was not prepared. It really felt like I got dick rolled and I was not ready. Oh, God.
There's no dicks in the scene, although you do see Rob Lowe's butt.
I turned it right off.
Sorry not to have warned you. I really didn't notice. I was just focused on Rob Lowe, I guess. Anyway, that's getting turned on. The point of this is like, don't waste time comparing yourself to anyone else. And I feel like that is also the message of feature number two.
Oh, hang on.
What?
Jeez. Oh, boy.
Dave has questions.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, first of all, you went right past the excellent phrase, gorgioso guy, which I'm going to be using from now on.
Okay.
My God, he's gorgioso. The line that a guy will get turned on by accidentally rubbing his penis against a school bus seat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Trying to imagine the geography of that. Oops.
That doesn't happen if you're like having to get out because it's your stop, but then the bus is like, you know, still kind of.
And like, if you're in sweatpants.
You're on the inner seat.
Okay. But in order for somebody to see that, you can't be coming or going. It has to be while the bus is en route. So
depends on if you're in Regina.
So the only way that this works is that you're accidentally rubbing your penis against the seat while it's in, like, you just turn around, you're like humping the seat. Like, it doesn't make any sense.
I don't think you're like, it's not the kind where we all see it. It's just the thing that happens to you, right? How thick are your jeans? Is that your stomach?
I wear chainmail jeans.
No, okay.
They're Levi's 8000s.
When you ever been on a school bus and you miss your stop and you stand up and you're just like, hang on, I gotta go. Then you stop because some of you left already. This is Matthew McConaughey for erection jeans. Get some.
Proceed to our second feature, wanted perfect breasts. There's no byline on this. I'll take point on this article because I have perfect breasts. Just kidding. it is weird to me that this one has no byline. I don't know why it wouldn't unless it was just a layout error. I mean, I have in my notes Neil, but I guess I should be saying Cheryl. This is definitely the kind of thing that would later on be typically a Karen piece, but everyone's beats had not been locked in yet at this point, so who's to say? They have a model. She is bare-breasted. We see full nip. And they're like, even she says there's some things she would change about her breasts. And much as was good in the last article, it's like, don't waste time comparing yourself because everyone has things they would change. It's dumb. Just love what you got, which I think is a good message.
I remember this picture.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, finding out that, like, nobody's nipples look the same was sort of revolutionary. So what I thought when I was reading this would be a great time to tell people about their breasts before their current state, mm-hmm. which is I wish that I had known prior to having a child that you can, like, a baby can be born lactating.
Mm.
You guys are frozen. But did you know this?
No.
Okay, so I put a link to it because it's called Witch's Milk, because anything female must be evil. But because the baby is so, like, entwined with you, they have hormones and stuff. So when they're first born, some babies have breast buds.
Dave's upset.
And
no, I'm not okay. Upset. I'm not. Here's why.
Yeah.
It's probably not your jam, Pam, but have you seen The Boys? The series, The Boys?
No, I know of it.
There is a scene where there is a super-powered baby. And he picks it up because it's got, like, laser vision. Yeah. And he's, like, mm-hmm. just basically using it as a gun. I was kind of imagining, like, a baby just birthed, except it's the same thing that it's shooting milk.
It's shooting breast milk.
Very, 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 very strong milk flow killing bad guys.
What has happened is, luckily, there's the internet now. But I don't know what it – no wonder it's called witch's milk in the past. Because what happens first is your baby has, like, a breast bump. And you're Googling, like, how can my baby be born with breast cancer or whatever. And then the pediatrician – was like, oh, yeah, and if you squeeze it, it'll probably, milk will come out. And he said, that's a lot of fun to do around mother-in-laws.
Ooh. So
she also, like, babies can also be born having teeny tiny periods. And I just feel like if they had talked us through all of that, one, less scary when you open a diaper and there's blood in it. Two, less weird about what's going to happen to your body because it may have already happened once when you were born.
Right.
Not you, Dave, but, like, I don't think this kind of thing happens to
boys. Don't tell me what I can do and what I can't do.
They called it witch's milk because they thought the little milk that came out was for the witch's familiar so that it wouldn't take the baby's breath. It would just suck her baby tits.
Oh, no.
Titties. Her baby titties. Yeah. I still like telling people things that they don't want to hear, like a sassy all caps fun fact. Wow. You know, your baby probably has milk coming out of her tits for your cat.
Wow. That's the thing I learned today. Holy shit.
You're welcome.
I have a theory why there's nobody's name on this. Nobody wanted to own up to the terrible comparisons in this article. Like, the article opens with, just one pre-PE changing session is enough to convince you that breasts come in as many shapes and sizes as the new range of Hondas.
That is a bad analogy.
My question for you guys is, if you had to describe your boobs as one of the following, which would it be? The Honda Fit, the right. Honda Civic, the Honda Accord, the Honda Accord Hybrid, the Honda Pilot SUV, the Odyssey, or the Ridgeline?
You're missing one.
Which one?
The Honda Elite. Boob. No, boob. Put a B on that.
And the other comparison is that nipples are kind of like eyes. And then it goes into everything you just said. Nipples can point inwards. Like, what? What's going on? Do I have to worry about my eyes now? Are my eyes going to be staring at my brain soon? Really bad comparisons in this article.
All right.
You might be right.
It also tells you how to measure for a bra. That's very practical, and I appreciate that.
Although that's misleading too. Earlier in the pandemic, I tried to do my own at home bra measurement, and like depending on what website you go to, no two retailers are the same. It's very frustrating. You really just have to go to a store and have the lady do it.
Well, if we had a universal metric, say Hondas, then we would all be in agreement. It would be a problem.
Put
anymore.
Me in an Odyssey, I'd say.
Talk about geniuses. I very much remember this article. I remember the picture of the kid model.
The beautiful mind.
Beautiful mind. Yes, all the calculus and trigonometry all over this gender neutral human. It tells the story of two geniuses, Kristen Banerjee and a dragon DeMello, a dragon Eastwood DeMello. They make sure we know. This is a real sad story.
Yeah, it's dark.
Catherine goes to meet each of them, and she's kind of in their homes with them, and you're really learning about their home life more than what it's like for them to be college students as young kids. And that's the part that's a little dark, where you've got Kristen, whose mom has moved her to this small town in Texas and is trying to help her sound like a regular, well-adjusted 11-year-old. And then a dragon has a dad who's very much pushing him into Guinness Book of World Records placement and a Nobel Prize, and maybe forced him to learn all of the cube roots. Catherine definitely gets skeeved out by the whole thing and feels bad for definitely a dragon, but if not both of the kids. They don't even seem like kids. Mm-hmm. They really don't. I mean, they're college students.
This is also one where, like, especially in a dragon's case, like when you look him up, the story got darker, like, almost immediately after this article came out. And we'll link some of the articles in the show notes that followed up on it. But before he was in Sassy, a dragon was profiled on 60 Minutes. And even in that one, they didn't talk to his mother and were very vague about it. Like in the 60 Minutes story, they were like, she made it clear she didn't want to be in this story. And then they did a follow-up, you know, 13 years later, where they're like, oh no, she was prevented from being in the story by his abusive dad. The most comprehensive story is really lays out, like, not only was he abusive to her and threatening to all of his professors, it seems like would go to their offices if he got a bad grade and threaten them with violence, but also really makes it seem like both of a dragon's parents, like, were doing his homework, and that even, you know, his grades were probably borderline for him to even graduate. And so he ended up, after he was removed from living with his father for these abuses, he went to live with his mom, and then he just, like, registered in junior high and had a regular junior high and high school career and never thought of himself as a genius after this. We'll link a lot of these in the show notes because it's an interesting story, but also like just so sad. This dad is bad news. Death to stage parents is my takeaway from this one. Yikers.
Before we move on, I just have Dave gives kudos and he takes him away. Bad Neil, bad Cheryl. First of all, what is with this pea green background for this article? It's terrible. And then on top of that, their accent graphics are just like parts of mathematical equations, plus signs, minus signs, cosines, and stuff like this. But they put these in the middle of the column and separate words on either side of them.
Yeah.
You can't do that. You can't chop text up like that. It's either got to be on the left side of the column and wrap the text around the right, or put it on the right, wrap around the left, or better, center it in the gutter, and then two columns, you have it going around. You can't do it. Mm-hmm. And they do it six times in the article. It drove me nuts every time I hit it. So don't ever do that again.
Get that button ready. I got one more. Texas is not the South. Thank you. This month, I knew the article was fiction, you guys. Ta-da!
Hooray!
Hooray! Elizabeth Mosier wrote a story called Wheels. And this story has everything. Stepdads, skater boys, someone named Speedy, carports, someone who's supposed to make meatloaf with a crumpled $20 bill, dead dogs, cheerleaders, bad dudes in gopher mascot suits, Joe Kelly's pickup truck, Phoenix, poodle perms, fake Herbalife supplements called Sun Energy that made her mom lose 15 pounds, sweaty backs, fingers running through hair, cool squints, boys shouting hot jump instead of nice ollie, righteous handshakes, pulpy smells, shady business transactions, riding on a boy's handlebars while holding a paper bag like it's not dangerous, fake leopard skin swimsuits from Frederick's, the Riviera apartments, lava lamps, plush velvet makeout cubes, the word reefer, meta references to Sassy's own makeout tips, choky breath, 2 second hand jobs, premature ejaculation followed by tremendous pride, wiping spooge on said velvet cubes, passed out dude screwdrivers, making your own skateboard, dunking on skaters who do tricks so that it sounds awesome that you're choosing to do figure eights on your longboard in your carport. Oh my God, that is what happens when you get turned on. You write Wheels. Oh,
this was the best story they have had yet, by far.
Best story of all time.
It made me want to buy her novel, which is called My Life as a Girl, and we'll link it in the show notes. This is very well done. It's very assured, and all of the details feel organic and important. And
do they? May I quote my favorite line from this story, and then we can discuss that. What you just said.
Uh huh.
Now, I didn't know what would be worse, having to ask Alan for more money or facing Mom, who'd be cranky if she didn't smell meatloaf cooking all the way from the carport when she came home from work.
That's everything.
I know that feeling, man. That rang true to me.
Wait, hang on a sec. Hang on. Okay, here's Mom. Where's that meatloaf?
I don't smell meatloaf in this carport.
My nose isn't happy, so I'm not happy. Where's my meatloaf?
I just want your stepdad to have meatloaf when he gets in this house. I lost 15 pounds and can't eat meatloaf, but I sure can smell it.
It looks like bread, but it's meat. It's meatloaf, and I'm not smelling it. You're grounded. Also, wipe off that spooge.
It's a snail tray. She calls it a snail tray. I very much remember this story. It lived deep in my, it was imprinted. Dave, my favorite one is the sick dog thing scared some people because the sick dogs got their name when somebody said they put a dead dog in a cheerleader's locker. Parentheses, later, the football team's mascot, this guy who wore this huge gopher suit, confessed, but somehow the original story stuck.
Sounds like that boy didn't have enough meatloaf in his life.
A dead dog in a locker?
Yeah. Mm.
Beautiful.
It's always the quiet ones.
All of this is great. All of this is great. All of this is great. Big time. Big time, babe. They like you can't, like, it seems like maybe they're going to get robbed. It always seems like perhaps they're going to get knifed or I don't know that he's going to steal her money and her wheels and mm-hmm. her board. But yeah. then she like lets him kiss her, puts her hand near near his belly button. Is that just stomach? Spooge everywhere. She wipes it all over his furniture and then decides, mm-hmm. I don't even want this board. Empowerment. I love it. I fucking love this story.
Next, we're going on the road to Honolulu. A place, they seem amazed, people actually live year-round. It's true. Few notes on here from the Hawaii snobs. Dave and I, until relatively recently, lived in Hawaii, not on Oahu, which is where Honolulu is. We lived on the Big Island. In the slang section, they talk about pidgin English, but they spell it like the bird. It's pidgin, P-I-D-G-I-N, which is, you know, a linguistic term. They say only tourists say aloha. Dave, I don't think that's true. I certainly heard locals say aloha.
Yeah, but I don't think it's not the default. Like, yeah. You hear hello or hi more than you hear aloha from yes. anybody there, really.
The term that you definitely hear everyone say, though, certainly locals, mahalo. You cannot escape mahalo. People say it all the time.
How's it?
Yeah, how's it?
I got that a lot. Although I will say it's not how's it. It's how's it. Like yeah. how and then zit.
Yeah. H-O-W-Z-I-T, like all one word. Mm-hmm.
I do not believe the first one that anybody has ever in the history of the universe said styling is profiling.
Hey, man. Your styling is profiling.
Nope.
I said that yesterday. I was stoked to say your styling is profiling. That's what my skateboard says. I wrote it in El Marco.
Yeah, Honolulu is like you want to go to Hawaii, but you don't want to leave Los Angeles behind.
Right.
That is Honolulu. It is really kind of the worst of both worlds. It's not as big and diverse as Los Angeles. And then Hawaii is just like this big city. The beaches are always crowded and the worst of everything. Not a lot of natural splendor near Honolulu. You really have to get out of the area.
It also is Hawaii, though. Dave's a little underselling Honolulu.
I'm saying if you're going to go to Hawaii, don't go to Honolulu. Go somewhere else. It's like you're getting 50% Hawaii experience there.
It's a good spot for people who don't want to see something else. They just want to say they went to Hawaii.
If you're a book on the beach person, hotel, book, beach, sure. Yeah. I mean, basically you're going to Cabo at this point.
Yeah. And you can go to the Ala Moana Mall. This is where I stayed when I was in Honolulu, right there.
You slept in the mall?
I slept in the mall. It's expensive in Hawaii. And I was trying to, I thought it was Moana's center. I assumed I'd get to stay for free. I was wrong.
At the time, they say this mall has 150 shops. It now has 345. This mall is big. They also mention other hangout places, Tower of Power, an all-ages club. I tried to find it, but there's also a band called Tower of Power, so it was very hard. But as far as I could tell, Tower of Power is no longer with us. The Ice Palace, however, indoor ice rink, still open. And then they have a little sidebar about Aloha shirts, which grew in popularity after Harry Truman wore one on the cover of Life magazine. Very sad what has happened to the reputation of the Aloha shirt. Thanks a lot, fucking far-right extremists, ruining a perfectly nice shirt with your bullshit.
This haircut that the blonde has, I just feel like it was very defining for me. I was like, you can shave half your head, and I want to. I never did.
Mm-hmm.
I never was allowed to do anything like this to my hair.
You still could. You could do it now.
I did it to my kid.
It looks cool.
Yeah, it's good on the kid.
It would be good on you.
I don't know, man. Look at her. I'm not that cool.
You just comb the rest of your hair over it. No one needs to know.
No, I think you would ask, did you get some kind of rash or eczema?
No.
And have to shave half your head. And I'd be like, no, I did this on purpose.
No one would
and
know.
When it's growing out, what?
No. You just get an undercut. See, that's when I get my hair cut. And guys, I'm vaccinated, so it's happening soon and I'm very excited. But you just get it like, start at your eyebrows or something and just go underneath. So then the rest of your hair just falls over it. No one knows. Secret undercut.
You've got hair fever.
Batter Talk. Batter Talk. It will never get old to me. I know it's old to all of you, but I will sing it until you physically stop me.
Before we get into this, I just want to say it's generally fun to pretend that the items, and they sort of alternate between normal case blue items and then all uppercase black text items, to imagine that the black text ones, the all caps ones, are things that Sassy is angry about and that you should read them that way. Mm.
Well, I just read
low fat milk
again.
Gets 30% of its calories from fat and skim milk. Fat accounts for only 2% of the calories, says Sassy.
Seriously, it is, though, like when Tara was like, some people would get nervous about facts. This is how they read in my head. They are in all caps, driving right into my eyeballs, into my brain, and like lodging into the corpus callosum. Contraceptive sponges help protect you against venereal disease and pregnancy, but they also make you 3 times more susceptible to vaginal yeast infections.
Where's my meatloaf?
Where's my meatloaf? Is it in the carport? Like, sponges confused me. Like, I didn't understand why there was a hook in there, or like a carpet rug loop that you would. And then I was like, can you just use like a basic powder puff? I'm very confused because they're made like exactly the same. And then because of Seinfeld, I didn't even think they made them anymore. But
so wait,
out,
hang on a sec. A contraceptive sponge isn't just like a sponge you use in your sink that you stick up there and it soaks up all the spooge. That's, you're telling me it's not that simple.
No, I mean, I think it is.
It basically is, but it just has spermicide in it.
Super absorbent. So can you use like, you know, like a scrub buddy? No.
You could try.
This is like when someone was like, I'll just get some saran wrap. It's okay. I don't have a condom. Yep. No, Dave.
Okay.
You can't do that. But I didn't realize, like, but I hear you. These are the kinds of questions I had too, because that sponge looks just like what my mom's Merle Norman kit had for like putting your foundation on. Mm-hmm. I can't see the difference, and I don't know how you make your own spermicide.
You just get a sponge, you spray it with Raid.
An unforgettable night.
There's also an item about sunglasses and how you also need to protect your eyes from UV rays, the same as your skin, and how you need to look for sunglasses that specifically say they have UV protection. And just wanted to note that I certainly remembered this item and would only look for sunglasses that had that little sticker on them, including at street vendors that were selling sunglasses for $5, and definitely just would buy a roll of UV stickers from like wherever and stuck them on and convinced idiots like me that that would definitely protect their eyes and they'd probably be fine because I was a dumb teenager. But nevertheless, I remembered this item.
Yeah, you got what you could afford.
Yeah.
You were making what you thought was the safe choice.
I did.
Did you know girls get drunk more easily than boys do? Girls have less muscle tissue. That means one mixed drink, 12 ounces of beer, or 1 5-ounce glass of wine can be enough to push a 110-pound girl over the legal intoxication limit. So no, I will not be having a drink tonight, Chad. I will have a Sprite.
There's an item about antiperspirants versus deodorants and which do what and so forth. And I think this is where I first read about putting on deodorant before bed until my mother saw me doing it once. It was like, stop wasting deodorant. Don't wear deodorant to bed. And you know what? She was right. You don't need to wear deodorant to bed.
No, it's not very good. Build up protection. But I do think if you are not going to use an antiperspirant, you have to build up. Now I sound like an idiot, but I'm repeating what I was told when I said, I don't understand why you're not going to use antiperspirant. You're just going to use deodorant and like you don't smell good. This is maybe happening in my private life. And let's say he's my husband said, no, you have to build up protection and deodorant. That's why I smell like this. And then now I'm free. And
wait, free of what? Or free from what?
Free from tyranny. Down with the system. Smell this.
Yes. I guess because antiperspirants may give you dementia, deodorants don't have that ingredient.
Correct.
So this is a bit of a tangent, but I don't think I'm a little sweaty right now. I'm a person who has to keep finding new deodorants and antiperspirants, like they wear off on me.
Oh, I see.
And I used to use the ones that were like lasts for 2 weeks, but that's terrifying now. At the time, you were like, genius.
It was spackle, basically.
Yeah. Do you know you can get Botox in your armpits for the sweat?
Yes.
Do you know that sometimes brides do that?
Yeah. When I lived in New York, I would read about that and think, oh, maybe. Because there's certainly times in the summer where, like, you go down to the subway and it's like going to hell. It just feels horrible. And then, like, you're so sweaty. And then you get to whatever office you're going to and it's like 4 degrees. It's like the coldest place. Like, there's no possible way to regulate yourself. And I would think about getting Botox for sweat all the time because I'm sweaty.
Where does it go? Do you have to, like, pant like a dog to get it out? Like,
I don't care.
Your socks are drenched when
I
you
assume
get home.
It comes Aww. Out like your scalp or your crotch or like other places you can't see. It's none Just of my business.
Oozes out your belly button.
Coming out of your feet at such a high pressure that you're sort of like yes. slightly levitating, your shoes hovering off. Around.
If you have gotten Botox for sweating, please call the hotline at 720 Sassy yeah. Go and tell us how it went, because I am curious about it all the time.
Help! Kill me if you can. My parents are having sex.
Yeah, Dave, you flagged this one. What did you want to say about I hear my mom fucking?
Their mom and dad divorced. Now mom's got a boyfriend and they're having very loud sex and it's freaking her out. And she sure. wants to know what to do. And Sassy says, well, tell her to keep it down or do it some other time, which whatever. All of these help letters, I feel like they have gone back to being all super fake or very mm-hmm. rewritten. I feel mm-hmm. like we had 1 month where they seemed maybe more genuine, but all these ones yes. had on staff had to whip them up, including this one.
Yeah, it doesn't say mom has loud sex. Just says she always hears them make love, which right. Nobody's ever said that their mom makes love. Nobody has ever said, I hear my mom making love. And then it says, it really scares me. That's how you know those two sentences don't go together.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I said this before when we talked about it, but like part of this, and I'm not discounting the possibility that these are all super fake letters, which is always in play, but it's also very possible that these letters come in and they're 17 pages long. They're like, can we boil this down to 8 lines so we can actually fit this in the magazine? Because you know how teen girls, they do go on.
Stretch marks. I am wondering, why do you get stretch marks? Will they go away? Where are they common? I mean, on the body, signed, wondering. And they go through some reasons why you might get stretch marks. There are two times in your life when you may get them. They are when your hormones are kicking in, and we're talking puberty and pregnancy. Once again, Dave T. Cole theorizes there are no plump staff members of Sassy, because let me tell you when else you get stretch marks. When you're just fat, that's when you get stretch marks.
It's true.
And has nothing to do with your hormones. You're just big. You love that Kraft macaroni and cheese. Second helping, please. Stretch marks.
Or if you alter from being fat, yes, if you alter it down to thin, you can get stretch marks.
Yeah. Or if you're gaining a lot of muscle, too, you get stretch marks. The final letter is about an alcoholic dad who is abusive. And I appreciate the advice here is not excessively prescriptive. It just starts with one preliminary manageable step, which is go to Al-Anon. As opposed to, like, you know, screeching at the letter writer to, like, get out or whatever. Because, you know, yes, but also that's very hard to do. So I like that they keep it in the manageable realm. This was, I thought, the best answer on the page. So kudos to Sassy for that one. Give them praise when it's due.
Moving on to what he said, question this month is, what do you think of smart girls? And they start by asking George Michael.
Yeah.
It sounds like, it's a cheeky answer, but I also think he was maybe trying to give a smarter answer than the question. And then it just got garbled between PR people. So it comes out like he's answering some other question. He's very instinctive about people. lets his gut decide who gets to stay in his life. Mm-hmm. But I think that means, smart girls are great. Then they do a nice job telling us that while you could, like, pretend to be dumb, there's really no reason to change yourself for a guy, and that it usually backfires. And then they ask a bunch of guys who basically say, yeah, but, like, don't be smart.
Yeah. So So I like that Ross, age 18, his answer is basically, I am of average intelligence and I needed an equally average girlfriend. He describes his current girlfriend as down on my level. Like, hope she didn't see this, Ross. Yikes. Right.
All the guys on this page and the pictures you can see in the visual aids are all various states of dealing with having just shit their pants.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like, like Ross, he's smiling, trying to hide that he just shit his pants. Like, this is, oh dear, I just shit my pants. Mm-hmm. John is processing the fact that he just shit his pants.
Yeah.
Brad is very happy that he shit his pants. And he's like, huh?
Yeah.
And then Tim did not shit his pants because Tim is actually a non-player character from a video game from 2011.
Yes, you're right. And it looks like Ross knows he shit his pants wearing too many layers and he's camping, while Brad shit his pants on the way home in a car. And that's why he's like, it's like five.
No, we can still go to In-N-Out Burger. Just go.
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine. It's got to be fine.
Dave, what do you think of smart girls?
I'll let you know.
Oh! Oh, right in
the
cerebellum.
Wow.
Oh, face.
Wow.
Wow. Well played.
Next time, profiles of Ziggy Marley and Jason Gedrick, a future scandal star truly is one to watch, and new couple Lenny Kravitz and Lisa Bonet, as well as Weird Al Yankovic, not part of their relationship, are featured in What Now? For my plug this week, it came out just after the sassy years, the good sassy years. But something to talk about, the Julia Roberts movie, was the subject of the latest episode of the Quaid in Full podcast, all about the life and career of Dennis Quaid. And I went on to talk about it. We will link that in the show notes.
I'm going to plug something I haven't even seen yet, but I'm watching it tomorrow and I'm sure it's going to be great. And so by the time you hear about it, you can do it too. Writer-director Megan Platika, who is hilarious, has a Zoom comedy called Murder at Winterberg Manor. It's a one-hour show set during a Zoom murder mystery game night. I'm very excited to watch this live and see how she is pulling this off from her living room. Maybe I'll see you there.
You can now follow me, David T. Cole, on Instagram at David T. Cole. You can follow Tara on Twitter or Instagram at Tara Ariano. Pam is Pamela Ribbon on Twitter. And you can follow this show everywhere at Listen to Sassy. Please rate and review us on the podcast app of your choice to help get the word out there. If you're on social media, please link to us to let other people know that we exist, because whenever somebody finds out about this, it's like, holy shit, I needed this in my life, but it's really hard to get that word out there.
Yeah, thanks for doing it when you have, too. And you can find more information about the podcast, visual aids for all our episodes, and contact info for all of us at our website, listentosassy.com. And speaking of our website, we'll be taking the June 88 quiz in a couple of weeks, but you can take it now because we put it online for you. Go to listentosassy.com, find out how artistic you are, and then call the hotline at 720-SASSY-GO to leave us a voicemail about how it went or any other sassy-related topic that's on your mind, or if you know what I was doing in June of 88, because apparently I'm trying to figure it out, and we may play it in a future episode. Thanks for listening, and we will see you next time.
Meatloaf!
Meatloaf!
Meatloaf! And carports! Is that, do we get enough about boobs? You never even said titties, Dave. It was really your time to shine.
I was the one that said titties before. I was
as
the
titties. As soon as somebody
there.
Said baby titties, I'm like, I'm out. That well, that joke's burned.
That's fine.
Done.
That's what I'm here for. It's all very what is the word I'm looking for?
Meatloaf.
It's all very meatloaf.
What?
I sensed I was going to get cut, so I just threw a meatloaf.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
That's what I'll say now. That's my safe word when I want out.
Yeah, meatloaf.
Meatloaf. We're going to meatloaf that one and move on to yeast infections.